Christ is risen. Welcome on this Easter Sunday. I'm Jim Pollard, pastor here at Christ United Methodist Church. It's a joy to have you here in worship this morning. I hope you find this an opportunity for you to give your thanks and praise to God. Listen to these words from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, from the 6th chapter. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And listen to the report of the resurrection of Jesus from the Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with all the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. May these words be the word of God to us on this day. Let us pray. O God of life and life eternal, speak to us now through these words and in this time. that we might know the reality of the new life in Christ in our own hearts. In his name we pray. Amen. It was still dark when she came to the tomb. Mary Magdalene had followed Jesus ever since that day in the small town of Magdala when the confusion and disintegration of her life had ended. In that small fishing village on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, she had been an outcast. People said that she was possessed by seven demons. We might call it multiple personality disorder in our time. All that they knew was that she was a crazy lady whose life was a mess, and that for reasons of some evil or sin in her life, God had cursed her. So when they saw her coming down the street, they crossed to the other side, or they took another alley home and made sure that she wasn't their next door neighbor. But one day, Jesus, the wandering Galilean teacher, came through town and reached out to her and blessed her, and her demons were gone, and her life came together. And she became one of his constant followers in his journeys. Along with Mary, his mother, and the beloved disciple, they were the only ones from his band of disciples who were present at his crucifixion. One of those disciples had betrayed him. One denied ever knowing him. And the others fled into hiding. Because of him, she had found a new life, and therefore she had followed him every step of the way. And now, he was dead. So she came to the tomb to perform a final act of love for a beloved teacher and friend, to tenderly anoint his body with fragrant oils, a profound act of mourning and final farewell. She went in deep sadness and also in profound love and gratitude for the transformation in her life from the death of her old life and the gift of a new life. And then another miracle. The stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Empty! She ran to tell Peter and the other disciple, tradition says it was John, who followed her, entered the tomb and found the grave clothes. And wondering, they returned home. Mary remained. And entering the tomb, she saw two messengers of God. In response to their question about why she was weeping, she poured out her grief over the absence of his body. And she sat stunned. She sensed she wasn't alone and poured out her confusion to that one who was standing next to her. The text says it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. And then he spoke her name, Mary, in that familiar way. And she recognized him. Rabboni, beloved teacher, she gasped. She sought to embrace him, but he prevented her and sent her to the disciples. I have seen the Lord, she cried out. I have seen the Lord. Death could not hold him. Death could not destroy the power of his life and the reality of his love. When Mary and then the disciples arrived at the tomb and found it empty, and when Mary encountered the risen Christ, What had been the end becomes the beginning. What had been hopelessness becomes hope. What had been the dead end of a sealed tomb becomes an open door to a new present and a new future. The empty tomb says that death does not have the final word after all. In the power and in the love of God, in the living word of the risen Christ, new life is victorious. The Easter proclamation, Christ is risen, brings us all running, wondering, curious, eager, hopeful, eager to hear and to know more. The good news that echoes from the empty tomb is news we desperately need, news that fulfills a promise from God to give us hope, news that proclaims the victory and the reality of new life, life transformed by the grace of a loving God now present with us in Jesus Christ, risen. The Old Testament is filled with the promise that God will give us life, that God will not abandon us to the unknown, but will give us purpose and blessing out of a heart of love. We are created for relationship with God in a covenant of love and mercy that God has written on our hearts and which God will never betray. As dramatic and climactic as is Easter morning, it is not a moment suspended from history. Rather, it is a part of the history of God in search of man. Those are the words of the great rabbi Abraham Heschel. The resurrection is a part of the history of God in search of man through the life of Israel and through the life of Jesus. The harsh truth of our history, though, is that we have preferred the darkness to the light. Rather than receiving Jesus, we reject him and we crucify him still. We have only to look to the violence and struggles and disparities of our world for evidence of that rejection. Yet, God is not defeated by that rejection. Instead, in the resurrection, God reclaims the world and offers it a way of new life in a new covenant through the living, risen Christ. The truth of Easter does not depend on our understanding of how resurrection and new life might be possible. Lots of things in my life and in this world that I don't understand are real and true. Mary Magdalene did not understand how her life had been transformed. She only knew that it had been. And Jesus had been the source of that transformation. There are people in this room this morning who can share their own experiences of new life and new hope because of the love and the presence of Jesus Christ. And like Mary, we are commissioned to share that newness in words and in actions so that it might be a reality in the life of others, individually and in the life of the world. In the Williamsville United Methodist Church, where I was pastor for 4 years, a columbarium exists in a small room to the left side of the front of the sanctuary. That room is over there. Okay? All right. On the congregation's left, over there, is a doorway that leads to a stairway and an emergency exit. And above the door is an exit sign. To avoid confusion in the event of an emergency, there's also a sign above the door of the columbarium. The sign reads, "No exit." The tomb says, "No exit. There is no way out." But the truth of Easter is a paradox. From a place of death comes a way to new life, a gateway to what cannot be a lesser life. That is a reality that has many names: eternal life, everlasting life. There is really no way to explain it or to understand it, but in the experience of the risen Christ, we know that it is real and it is true. What is vitally important is that we do not need to wait until our own death to know the reality of resurrection living. We can know its reality in our present experience as Mary Magdalene did, in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. As Christ's disciples and Christ's church and Christ United Methodist Church, that is the message that we have for the world. And look what that means. It means that we can give our lives and our energy to life-giving purposes, even in the face of overwhelming odds, for Christ has said, "I have overcome the world." It means that we can work for justice in human society for generations, if necessary, because ultimately injustice will fail. Its death-dealing reality has already been defeated. As the hymn proclaims, "The strife is o'er, the battle done, the victory of life is won." Alleluia. In Christ, we know that things can be different. In Christ, we know that there can be life without fear. In Christ, we know that compassion and peace are God's gift and will for us. In Christ, we know that our lives have purpose and meaning and power as evidence, a sign to all who see with eyes to see and ears that can hear, signs of what God has done and is doing to redeem the world for life. In the reality of Jesus' death, we know that the cost of proclaiming and living in his new way is high. But in his resurrection, we know the victory that gives us assurance and faith and hope and confidence, rooted in the promise and power of God and fulfilled in the risen Christ and revealed to the world from the empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen. Rejoice in the victory of new life. Amen and alleluia. The song "Mighty to Save" captures the power and the emotion and the joy of Easter. Let's join in singing.